What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
There are no moral victories in professional sports, and even if there were, Washington's game against Kansas City wouldn't count because you got to play whatever close to good that was they played in the first half for the whole 60 minutes, and they didn't do it. This is Washington Football Talk Podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Thank God we built up a really big subscriber base. Otherwise, nobody would listen to this thing. That game was boring. It was boring. Outside of the Sean Taylor stuff, there's nothing to talk about. They played okay in the first half. Whoop-dee-f-ing-do.
Yeah, I wrote in my really awesome Pulitzer quality game story that normally in an NFL week, the game is where things crescendo. This was like the least crescendoing NFL game I've seen in a long time. And the second half was just a death march for the Chiefs. And Washington put up no fight and didn't score a single point. And the result we all expected turned out to be the result we got.
Hats off to the Chiefs and Washington football team for doing their own Sean Taylor tribute in the second half. 21-0 Chiefs. Game was over at that point.
I think people at this point listen to us as much for the football as for the bit. So I'm going to get down to them. Why is there tape on your tie?
Very easy. There is no.
Mitch has tape on the little,
what's
like.
The thing that you're supposed to tuck your tie
into? Let's get Mitch a new tie. Let's start a GoFundMe.
No, I like this tie.
No. You got tape on your tie.
Can you show the tape for.
First of all,
put that on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Every single week I do this. Every single week.
All your ties have no loops on
them?
They
do, or they're too short because I'm tall and it doesn't quite reach the loop. So
how have you not discovered this until now?
I woke up this morning. I swear to God, for the first like 2 hours I was awake this morning, I thought I grew overnight. Like everything's, and I was like sober and not stoned.
Wait.
You know, I kept asking Lauren. I was like, do I look taller? She's like, what? Dude.
Like everything was like a little out of reach.
The trash can seemed a little lower.
Yeah.
The dishwasher seemed like down. Normally the dishwasher folded down is like at my shins. I swear it was like at my ankle.
Someone's playing an elaborate prank on you.
It was very weird. And lastly, Pete is very clearly like on his own death march. Pete showed up hot. He hasn't slept. He was at a wedding, and he was like really extra for like the first half.
I was annoying JP in the press box, and then I just went quiet.
Pete had a ton of energy early.
Yeah,
and then I started taking everybody's trash. I just turned into the press box
like
waiter.
When you haven't slept and you drank all weekend, you're like riding that wave, and then you crash.
And then I realized nobody cares about my stories, and I just crash in the second half. Just
Pete
like
was kind of like the Washington football team. Yeah. He started out kind of
all full circle.
Yeah,
kind of started out kind of and with a lot of energy,
and then just died in the second half.
Yep.
I mean, here's the thing. The better team won. There was never really a question that Washington was going to win. Did you ever think Washington was going
to
win?
No. You needed to see like them come out of the halftime break and continue to play for a bit before you started entertaining.
When Hop missed that field goal, would that have made it 16-10?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that Hop missed field goal, everything was going Washington's way. Mahomes was un-Mahomesian, and he hasn't been Mahomes this season, but he was I think, worse in the first half.
Grossmanian.
Yeah, I mean, that
first half was bad.
First half was really bad. They moved the ball at will, and then he would just turn the ball over with a terrible, terrible throw. So everything seemed to be going their way. It felt like, you know, maybe any karma Sean Taylor's jersey retirement may have had was carrying over to the field, and then the second half started, and it all went away.
At one point, Charles Honey texted us this. At one point, the Chiefs picked up 8 straight third downs. Dude, I've never seen this, and I mean never. I've been watching football 35 years, right? I've never seen a 4-minute offense that is completely done in the pass game. Like, they iced the game. I'm going to pull it up. I mean, they iced the game. They got the ball with 14 minutes left. No. Where is it?
Like 10-something.
Yeah, they
on
got
their
the
own
ball.
Four.
Yeah, they got the ball with 10 minutes left on their own 4, went 15 yards for 90. I'm sorry, 15 plays, 96 yards for a touchdown. They had the ball for seven and a half minutes on that drive.
Yeah, and that was a lot of third down conversions right there,
dude. Like, and it was all passes.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you give up a 7 minute drive, a 96 yard 7 minute drive in the fourth quarter. It was still a game at that point.
Yeah, that was people were just slowly filtering out after each conversion. It was like, oh, Pringle for 15. There goes 1,000 fans. Up
right.
Hill, 6 yards on third and five. There goes another 1,000 fans. Just people slowly realizing that nothing good was going to happen for the rest of the contest. And the offense today didn't, like, the past couple weeks, you kind of felt like, okay, Heineke's on the field. Something good can happen. He's going to make some plays, and they could score on every drive. Today, he was slow. He was looking around. He never seemed to find any sort of rhythm, and that's two straight weeks of just ineffectiveness. And today was supposed to be a good one because the Chiefs' defense was horrific coming into it.
They're giving up 32 a game.
They gave up 32 a game. They gave up the second most 40-plus yard plays in the NFL up to this point.
The most.
Was it the most?
Yes.
Cover one. They were two behind Washington.
Two ahead of Washington.
However you look at it.
Sure.
You guys had that stat pregame. I didn't really care about that stat because they've also played some really explosive teams. Washington's not explosive.
But they've been hitting some big plays. And players
Washington would be able to score more, but not. I wasn't expecting a lot of home runs.
Players were open downfield, and Taylor Heineke just couldn't hit them. We did the pool exercise a couple pods ago. Where are you standing in the pool? Tell you what, I think a lot of the Heineke luster has faded, and I waited from being about chin deep in the Heineke pool to. I was getting excited because I thought things were turning for him, and I'm now the water's splashing around my ankle, my little tootsies.
I'm starting to head to the part where you get up and what's it called, the edge, the pool's edge, and go put my towel on. You're out of the pool.
Out of the pool.
You're in your chair.
I agree.
I think I'm asking for you to help me out at this.
The
point.
The arm strength has always been obviously a problem, but when he's playing fast and intuitive and instinctive, that makes up for it because the ball's coming out before receivers are making breaks. He's not playing fast anymore. He's gun shy and he's not running. He's not making plays with his legs. I don't know if that's being coached into him. I kind of doubt it. Maybe that's an interesting question, but the off schedule stuff's not there and the on schedule stuff isn't there. I don't know. Today was bad.
I think I'm at a point with him right now where he's a good backup quarterback to have. He's proven that he can step into a game.
We're kind of back where we started with him.
Yeah. I think there was a question of can he be the guy, and there was a question of is he a good backup quarterback. You saw one good game against Tampa and then stepped in this year. I think he's a good backup quarterback, and that's okay. There's
nothing
wrong with it.
They threw for 180 today.
Yeah. It's your old 200-yard over-under.
Yeah.
I mean, Casey's given up at least – 250 through the air in all five of their games, and twice over 300.
Heineke is a good shot in the arm, but that shot in the arm doesn't last for very long. And he could definitely go out into Green Bay next week and play a really good game, but I just don't think there's enough talent there for him to consistently week in, week out, be one of the best quarterbacks in the sport. And that's not a hot take or even a breaking news. That's just where we're at.
Is it milquetoast? Is it milquetoast?
It's awfully milquetoast.
My way for them to win this game was to run the ball. Gibson had 10 – they didn't even have 20 total carries. And the game didn't get that far away from them.
Yeah, they were leading at half, and it was – the Chiefs had 17 points going into the fourth.
I think that
– but Gibson fumbling, and he had the shin issue.
Gibson
you lose
fumble
your guy,
is a big deal.
That's the guy you're going to hand it off to more often than
it's
not.
It's two bad in-your-own-territory fumbles this year from Gibson.
And more injury concerns, as you've been bringing up, JP.
It also just felt like the Chiefs were on the verge of putting up points quickly at any point.
Weren't both of the picks –
both picks were in the red zone. One was in the red zone. The other
or the
was just
green
on the
zone.
Outside.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, JP did a great job. We'll get to 100 chips calling the under. And I kind of joked that they were 1 to 2 plays away from it potentially going over. Those two picks were killer. They were moving the ball up and down the field. They had 500 yards of total offense today and scored 31 points. That easily could have been a Billsian game where they scored 40 plus.
I think we're in podcast health space where we kind of just know this team isn't a playoff team and they don't really have a quarterback here that's the long-term quarterback.
We're not on pins and needles like, all right, they might not be good, but this guy, let's watch him develop.
They're just in no man's land. And
are we watching for?
There's 11 more games.
Like, we have to do it, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Like, when when we meet that dude that was wearing the shirt and take a picture with him, right? Like, what's he watching for next week?
Like, just at least
we're used to it.
At least in
and
the
team matters to us.
In the Callahan year, you had like, okay, let's watch Dwayne and see if he can develop. There's not even that this year. Heineke's going to be back next year, hopefully backing up someone else. This defense is going to continue to disappoint us. Mitch, what are we watching for?
I think that's what you're watching for. Ron Rivera has built this team based on that front four and on the defense being good. He gave John Allen the extension. He didn't necessarily draft all those guys, but he gave John Allen extension. They have the four first rounders. He's built this team in his second year based on the premise that the defense and the front four were going to be good. We have 10 more games left this season,
11
more games left this season to see if that premise works. If that premise isn't right,
it's not working.
It's not working right now. I agree. But if we get 11 games further and it's this bad the rest of the season, where do they start next year? We're going to be in year three of 5 years of Ron Rivera's team, and essentially nothing that has been done with this team would have been making this team better.
2-4 right now, going to Green Bay.
So your selling point is we're watching to see if the defense sucks as bad as we think it is.
To see if Ron is
Sounds
starting.
Fun. That's, can't wait for next Sunday,
You're
man.
Watching to see if Ron Rivera has to start a rebuild in his third season.
He's got
to
rebuild the rebuild?
What's that terrible movie that I watched a little bit of that Cakes always talks about that won the best
Oscar?
Nomadland. I literally watched that. So Cakes on the Junkies was like, oh, my God, it's the worst movie I've ever seen. I watched it on a plane to be like, what the hell?
Right.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I literally only watched it to see how bad it was.
To confirm the
offense.
And
then I turned it off. People are going to turn this off.
I think you can
go to JP's old analogy. You can't redo the kitchen while living in the house. And I say that because you look at some of the moves they did this offseason, bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, signing William Jackson to the big contract. You know, obviously.
I hope his contract has a penalty clause in it, by the way. Even though today's
But I'm saying,
count.
Like, a couple
They're
of
getting a lot
moves,
from Curtis Samuel's contract.
Yeah. I mean, they made a couple big moves that almost make you think that they're trying to win now. They also might be able to help for the future, but they're trying to help
you
win now.
The best move they made is probably trading for Eric Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
Right?
I support all those moves, too, and it just nothing's working.
William Jackson's giving them nothing.
But the point being, if none of this works, where are you at with this team?
Yeah, no, they've taken steps towards a direction that doesn't look like the right direction, so they have to come back to starting point and then go in the other direction.
They played for a very good but really hard hand to obtain. They're waiting on one card for the inside straight.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then they just realized that the three is actually an eight, and they don't even have the outside parts of the straight.
Right. That's
like
amazing.
They kind of have nothing.
Yeah.
They were drunk, looking at their cards wrong, and then they're like, "Oh wait, I got nothing."
Yeah. That's strong.
You look at what the Colts did with the way that they built that team, and then added who they thought was going to be their great quarterback or their good quarterback, Carson Wentz, and we'll see how that all plays out. But that's what Washington was trying to aim towards. The Colts built up their offensive line and have one of the best ones in the league, and then started adding pieces around it, made their defense better as they move forward, and were waiting to drop in that quarterback. They got their one-year old guy in Phillip Rivers last year and then made the move for Carson Wentz. You can look at the way that this team is built, and it's semi-similar in that they got their old guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick, and maybe we're hoping in the offseason adding Matt Ryan or whatever other veteran QB it could be to kind of take him to the next level. That would be the case. It'll be interesting to see if it works for the Colts.
This is so much Colts talk.
Well,
yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm just
looking at Twitter.
Of course you are. I'm equating what they tried to build this team to the Colts.
I was at least trying to be nice and make eye contact. It's just punted on his point.
I see what you're saying.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know.
I finished my point.
Thank goodness.
I'm sure you have something quite salient to say right now.
I'm just going to keep it moving.
Please.
Let's revisit.
Now Mitch is looking at Twitter while you talk.
Let's revisit just season predictions.
Yeah.
They're 2-4. They get north of 6?
Yeah, if you put it at 5.5, I'd be really looking at the under.
I think you try to pick off Denver, Carolina, Seattle, Vegas.
And then the Eagles and Giants, you get three against them.
Yeah, but NFC East games are always going to be crazy. Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, like, those are their winnable games I'm looking at. I don't expect them to win all of them. Say you go 2-4 in those four winnables I've identified.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you to 4.
Yep.
And then you, you go 2-3 in the last five division games, that gets you to 6.
Awesome.
But what does that do for you?
So
you
nothing.
You pick 11?
It sucks.
No, I'm just saying, like, what do you think this thing finishes at? Like, how far down this well did we fall? Like, do you have them going to 7-9? What is it, 7-10 now? I think we all have them at 6-11.
Yeah, I agree. To that point, if you're going to win 6 games, win 4 games.
Oh, we're doing tanking bets. God. Damn. October 17th, everybody. This is ahead of schedule this year.
Guess what? There were two this week and last week.
To Ole Miss.
This week and last week both looked like winnable football games. You wouldn't have thought that against the Chiefs.
Last week did. This one today.
At halftime, you got to you were up 13-10, and you didn't play particularly well, but you were winning. You had the field goal to go 60. Like, I'm not saying that they were the better team on the field, but they had an opportunity to win this game. And there's certainly plenty of time. If you looked at when we looked at this game at the beginning of the season, we thought they had no shot against the Chiefs.
Sure. And by the end of the game, they had no shot against the Chiefs.
No, by the time the fourth quarter started, they had no shot against the Chiefs.
Wow, I've just come to the realization we really have nothing to watch for.
Stop saying that, dude. We need Please people to pay listening. Attention.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Jeez,
sorry.
Pete.
Optimism. Bullish Mitch, we're going to need you. We're going to ride that horse hard for the next couple months.
You're not going to find much today from it.
He moved to Indy.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
One word to describe this defense. And one word to describe the offense. People think I'm overly critical on the defense. The defense was supposed to be good. The expectations were for the offense were maybe you get into the top 20. Except for some that thought Fitzpatrick was going to the Pro Bowl.
For the defense, I'm just going to say annoying because the coaches are running out the same players.
We don't need hungover Pete's energy. We need regular Pete's energy.
I'm saying the defense annoys me because they keep using the same lineups. The players keep making the same mistakes. And again, just hey, it's gut check time. We'll get better next week. We got to all watch the film. It annoys me. Annoying defense. The offense.
I would love some honesty from like. It's not going well. You don't need to just watch the film.
It's not one or two plays away.
Well, no.
I think it's. I mean, it's a milquetoast word, but it's disappointing the defense because you thought they were going to be decent. You thought they were going to be good. You know, they're going to be at least top 10 probably again this season. And you're not seeing any change. You're seeing very few changes being made defensively, scheme-wise.
Free to Shazer Everett.
Player-wise. You're not seeing better effort, more players improving as the season goes. It's just nothing. It's just blah.
Another word for it would be Ashburned. We were Ashburned yet again.
Ashburn syndrome, undefeated.
Mm-hmm. And then the offense, I don't know, mediocre. At best.
Sure, yeah.
And that's me being nice.
I still think the O-line has played relatively well.
Yeah. But
there's a positive.
Yeah. What I think I said to Pete
Jamin Davis played a little bit. I'm curious about snap counts when they come out.
Yeah. I don't know if he played well, but he played.
I think I said to Pete the other day about the offensive line. They played pretty well. I think, like you said, Eric Flowers has been – very good. I think Wes Schweitzer has been good stepping in for Brandon Sheriff. Maybe not worth $18 million for a guard in this day and age of the
NFL.
You
don't say.
Guard. So they're one or two years away. 1 or 2 years away from what? Being 1 or 2 years away again?
Yeah, that's when you start taking the 30,000-foot view of Ron Rivera's 5 years. We're in the middle of year two, and he's turned over the entire roster to his players, the guys that he wanted to bring in, but those guys that he's brought in are not performing. And you said we need some honest answers. Love some honest answers from the coaching staff and from the players about what is going on back there.
Well, and the problem, too, is that the coaching staff is the front office.
Right.
So there's not going to be, like – And so there's the theory of NFL self-preservation, right? And I'm not saying this is what's happening. But you get there, you coach them, it doesn't go great. You got to get a quarterback, but then you don't go quarterback. You sign a veteran, he gets hurt. When the season ends and you disappoint, well,
yeah,
our veteran got hurt, and you know now we know we need a young guy. We got to draft somebody.
Been hurt all day, all
sure.
Season.
So then you get into year three, and you draft your quarterback. That kid plays okay. And then by the end of that season, your narrative is, well, we got to give the kid time. You got to give us time.
Showed flashes.
You got to give us time with our kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're on to year four. The kid's no good. Like,
yeah.
Right. You're getting dangerously close to having to make your decision about Ron Rivera in year three. It's not going to happen because they're not going to pay a coach to go away again. But you're in a situation where, like JP just laid out, You're in an abyss for another two seasons, waiting to see if now the guy that you drafted in year three is the guy, and probably it's going to take a year or two to be able to make that decision on him. And then by that time you're in the last year of Ron Rivera's coaching, and you have to make a decision whether you're going to extend him or get rid of him, because you can't have a guy who's just who's coaching on a one year deal.
Yeah, this season started a month and like 8 days ago. And now we just fast forward to maybe Ron getting fired in year four with a new quarterback.
Mm-mm-mm. Mac Jones, 15th.
Yeah, Justin Fields there.
So
for the game,
the only one I talk about is Mac, because Fields went 11th. That's almost a 10 spot jump, and it was in the division. Like I think that trade is harder to pull off.
I get it.
Jones, 4 spots away.
And who knows, he's had some decent moments, but also looks completely average.
Sure.
But at least that's
you'd
a body.
You have something to watch.
Yeah, that's definitely something to watch.
You'd have something to watch.
You can also go 2 years ago.
Sure. Now, I think it's a little revisionist history to discuss that.
It's 100%
because
revisionist
now
history.
Herbert's obviously the guy, although they got, I think, skunked in Baltimore. But Herbert's obviously the guy, but then it would have been Tua.
Right, yeah, that's what I was about to say. They might have taken. They would have taken Tua.
No one was calling for Herbert at 2.
Right.
That's easy to say. Now we are, though.
Cool. It's a lot of fun when they go like this in October. All right.
How many people do you think are still listening to this podcast right now?
A lot.
I think you get them out.
This is depressing.
What are the chances they turn it around? Hell, they were... Weren't they 2-4 last year?
They were 1-5 last year.
And they got
they're ahead of schedule.
7-9.
They're ahead of schedule right now.
What are the chances they turn it around?
I have really no faith.
Give me a percent.
3.
Out of 100?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
out
they're
of
playing
100 or 10?
Out of 100.
Okay. Out of 1,000.
They're playing Rodgers next week. They have Brady a couple games after that with a bye in between. Plenty of other good quarterbacks after that. And this defense has shown no signs of life. Like, we're sitting up there like, oh, they got a little pass rush today. This is supposed to be the best front in football, and we're celebrating them making Mahomes run around. Not even getting to him, just, oh, they made him run around there.
Did Chase get was that a solo sack for Chase?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Probably.
I'm just, for my season-long Chase Young sacks wager, I'd like it to be a solo.
That was a heavy wager, if I recall.
Yeah, it was a pretty heavy wager.
Yeah. What is it, 8.5?
Yeah.
All right.
Got two.
What's your percent? Your faith percent?
10%.
You're 3 times more bullish than I.
3 times more bullish than
you. I think there's a 1 in 10 chance that.
And that means make the playoffs?
That third wild card spot.
What
if you win all 4 of the winnables that we've identified? And then you get to December, treading water.
Right.
I've been saying it for a while.
Yeah, I know. I just don't think they are even close.
Troublesome.
I don't think they're informed to get there, though.
I agree.
I don't think they are either. Yeah. But it could happen. Also, 10%, he's saying 90% chance it doesn't happen.
Right. They're 2-4. I'm not saying they should be 4-2, but they could be 4-2.
Could be 0-6.
They could also be 0-6. So it goes both. It turns both ways. It's not an offsides penalty, and not the
Dexter Lawrence is one of this team's MVPs this year.
Yeah, the offsides against the Giants. Yeah. They could be 0-6. They could also be 4-2.
Two plays away, Mitch.
How do you have them at 4-2? That they win the Chargers game and the Saints game?
I think he's saying today.
No, not today.
The
Chargers and the Saints.
Okay. They were outclassed by the Chargers. That score is way more favorable than the
outcome. It was a close football game. They had the ball at the end. Antonio Gibson doesn't fumble. There are things you could point to that if they were one or two plays different.
I just don't care about them maybe being 4-2.
I agree, but that's why I'm saying.
Care about them maybe being 0-6.
I know.
That's
I care about them being 2-4.
That's
and
why I'm giving them
10%.
10%
chance. Ron, testy at all?
No. He just – post games, he doesn't – I guess last week he was a little testy. This one was quiet, somber.
Did he seem resigned?
Perhaps. I got to hear it and watch it. I wasn't in there, but
– wasn't a lot of fire. And post-game presses are hard. The game ended 15 minutes before. There's no any time
I think
to
he
review.
Was so pissed last week. Because last week he was visibly pissed. Because kind of to Mitch's point, that was a winnable game. Mm-hmm. They could have won that. And listen, man, all these coaches lie and say they don't look at the schedule. He does the ledger in his head. He knows that
he's
probably
let it slip a few times. Yeah. Like, after this game, we go to Buffalo. Like, right. He knows what's coming.
And he knows how daunting the list is. So he knew he probably needed to pick that one off.
Yeah.
Like, I bet – in Green Bay, be like, yeah. But if they lose in Denver, it'll be like, God damn it.
Yeah. He knows which ones are gettable.
I think 10% sounds about right. Fine. I mean, could it happen? Do we want to go through my notes? Bad tackling.
What notes did you have? You showed me your notes about halfway through, and it was like one line. Not to note shame you or anything.
I don't like that they didn't kneel after the interception. Sorry.
I've been missing them, too.
I know. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. You roll Heinicke out in the shotgun relatively deep in your own territory when you just got a big play to go into half with some momentum, and then Heinicke starts running around. Like, just take a knee, or you've got to run the ball, fine, but just get to halftime safe. And I tweeted that. I got a million responses. 18 seconds and 3 timeouts. Good offenses can move the ball and get a field goal there.
It's not a good offense.
It's not a good offense.
Yeah.
Be happy at 13-10 and be ready to play.
Yeah. 4th and mediums that they passed up to kick field goals, and then one of the field goals didn't even hit the net. I don't know. But, like, it's hard to get passionate about these because it just never felt like
they – because the Chiefs were going up and down the field at will.
You want to go
the
game
turnovers
balls?
Were very helpful.
That turnover they got with 18 or 20 seconds left or whatever it was, the Chiefs had just gone 70 yards in 28 seconds.
Right.
Like, they immediately were in the red zone. It was just an atrociously bad play by Mahomes.
What did you want to go to? Or
I was going to do game balls.
Yes, go for it.
I think Cole Holcomb had a really good game. He forced that cut. He forced the offensive pass interference on Travis. I mean, there were consecutive plays, but he forced that on Kelsey. And then, I mean, really showed some speed to track down Mecole Hardman on the backside.
He's got some speed himself.
Of a kind
reverse
of
a gadgety play.
Yeah, reverse gadgety play. Forced the fumble there. I thought Holcomb has had some games where he accumulates tackles that I don't know that they're necessarily good games. I thought he played a good game today. Game ball.
That's a
right side of the offensive line. I thought Cornelius Lucas and Wes Schweitzer stepping in as two backups having to play there against a pretty good – what could be a pretty good Chiefs front four. I thought they did a pretty good job over there. They get a game ball for me.
I guess J.D. McKissic, game ball. I don't know if he was good. He's J.D. McKissic, Ian. I don't know if there's anybody else. You guys might have taken him.
You give the touchdown. You don't give Ricky Seals-Jones one?
Oh, duh. That's what I wanted. He's filled in well for Logan the past two games, and that could be a decent pairing of tight ends for the next couple seasons if you're able to keep them both. So, yeah, Ricky Seals, game ball.
I have a hat tip to the smoke machine. They did a good job with that this week.
They dialed it down a little bit. Less is more.
It looked good, and they did a good job with that. Big hat tip.
It actually was a little wimpy. I think there's a sweet spot in between blow out the whole stadium and then what was
to – it's better to be on that side of it than it is to be on the too much side and the players are closing their eyes and praying to God they don't get hurt.
Definitely.
Neither game ball I'm providing zero reaction. And we should have talked about this already. But the Sean Taylor ceremony, it was really emotional for his family. They were really appreciative of it. I got to speak with his father. Maybe we should put that in here.
Yes, let's put that in.
I got to speak with his father and exchange some brief words with his daughter and I guess fiance. I don't know what her title is at this point. But they were clearly emotional and appreciative. And at the end of the day, that family getting a lot out of today's ceremony is what's most important.
They during pregame, they played the tribute video, and then the family walked over, and Pedro Taylor came on with JP, which we'll hear the audio afterwards. The family was emotional. It choked me up a little bit sitting there.
Totally.
I mean, they were, you know, Gabriel is
very, very real.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very real moment. It was a raw moment for the family, and, you know, being sort of around the team, you know, when it happened back in 2007, and, you know, all of us growing up and watching this team, it's a pretty seminal moment seeing Sean Taylor get his number retired. And, you know, before the game, they were out on Ring Road at the Sean Taylor Road, which they were, I guess, rededicating. Pretty cool seeing Clint Portis out there in the Gulliver Prep, you know, Sean Taylor's high school jersey, and Rod Gardner and Fred Smoot and extended family there. It was a cool moment seeing all those folks get together, you know, get to pose with, you know, the signs, and Jason Wright said some nice words to the family there. It was, you know, there were some nice moments today around that jersey retirement.
Mitch also came up with a very nice compilation of some clips from players and people talking about Sean. We'll put that at the end of the pod as well. I like just seeing all the jerseys. Pro Bowl jersey, 36 jerseys, 21 jerseys, Miami jerseys, Gulliver Prep jerseys. Guys still got a huge group of fans here and always will.
For sure.
Ken Kicks and Goats. Goats to Montez Sweat. Offsets.
I wanted to thank Washington PR also for making interviews and stuff happen. It was a difficult time with a lot of emotions. And
you took the words out of my mouth. They did a great job, you know, working with the family and working with everybody to be at all the different events that they had planned and making time for, you know, for us and for JP to get that interview. Thank you.
And we've said enough about all the other stuff that we can do it again another time. But for today, let's just let the family be happy with what happened. All right, moving forward, my GOAT of the game, the number one GOAT, Montez Sweat. How can you line up offsides in that situation? The defense got off the field. They were off the field. Butker's running out for a kick. Yeah. It would have been 13. You can tie it up at 13. Just a huge, huge momentum shift. I think Ron actually called him out. Ron actually brought up the offsides. And Ron tries like crazy not to bring specific guys up. Just a really, really bad play. And I know that Chase followed up with an offside after that, but they picked up the first down anyway.
And that shouldn't have happened because Montez should have been in position.
And, like, Chase was trying to jump the snap and get a sack. Montez lined up offsides.
Yep. I think I got to give one to Gibson. I know he had decent runs here and there, but between fumbling and, you know, the injuries aren't his fault necessarily, but he's dinged up from basically the opener until now. I really like what he's doing when he keeps control of the ball. He has the burst, and he's – seems to be reading blocks better and really good in between the tackles, especially for someone who was a receiver 36 months ago. But the turnovers are killer. And Heinicke as well. Never got anything.
That's what I was going to
say. Missing guys wide open.
There was the throw. It was a third down throw to who's number one?
Carter.
Thank you. DeAndre Carter. 15 yards downfield in between a huge hole in the zone. Opportunity to keep the drive going early in the third quarter, I believe, and just completely missed him. And it wasn't the patented high throw. It was all of it. It was a kind of a lollipop that was high, too far out in front. Just the whole thing looked bad. It's hard not to give Heinicke a goat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is true for a lot of, if not all, quarterbacks, but if Heinicke doesn't have his accuracy, he's got nothing. Like, Mahomes has the power and the creativity. Heinicke needs to have the timing, the accuracy, or else he turns into a D-minus.
Yeah. Right. Secondary.
Lane Jackson III is making Josh Norman look like a Ring of Famer right now.
Landon Collins isn't playing well.
You see the move that
My God. The corners.
The move that Kelsey put on Landon Collins.
Tackling.
It was a third and three, and he just
got to
give a little
hit. Yeah, you were behind me. You're like, was that Landon? I was like, yeah.
That was bad. Kendall Fuller for the tackling. I know he had a pick, but
On the McKinnon third and four.
It was just third downs. JP gave the number
11
earlier.
17.
I mean,
one of them was basically a kneel down, give up.
It's just unbelievable. Eight straight in the second half, third down conversions, and it wasn't. They weren't stressful third down conversions. It was every
time.
They never
are. They never are.
Yeah, it was Mahomes kind of roll out and
stress
find
against
somebody.
This defense. No such thing.
They got lucky as hell on the long throw to Tyreek Hill that got called back on the offsetting penalties, but that was a Mahomesian throw across his body 15 yards downfield.
The refs for penalizing Tress.
That was an odd one.
Yeah.
Tress has been in the mix.
Yo, Tress get beat up. What's Tress he supposed to do there? He's trying to get to the runner. Like,
right.
The guy has the ball. There's a guy in front of him. He takes that guy on.
Yeah.
You're going low on a blocker? Like, what?
The only thing for him, the refs want him to stand up and just get absolutely trucked.
Right.
And he kind of got trucked anyway.
Right.
Trying to go after the kick returner.
He saved two kick return touchdowns.
I was
going to
say, we're talking goats. I mean, the special teams kick and punt returns were not good today.
Oh, sure weren't.
Where's that Troy Apke? Where's number 30?
You've told me for months how great he is on special teams. It just has to have this roster spot.
Yeah. Maybe they're saving him for a corner. We'll get him out there soon.
That's where your 3% lays?
That's what I'm watching. That's what I'm watching. When does Troy Apke play corner? And Hopkins gets a can kick. I mean, he banged a 50-yarder, hit a 40-yarder, but for someone who's 12 of 14, you'd think he's 9 of 17 this year.
Yeah, man, and I don't know. He's
12 of 14 is two missed extra points, right?
Yeah. A lot.
That counts.
Definitely counts.
All of it. But it's funny because in the grand scheme of things, that kick doesn't make a difference in this game, but momentum-wise, if he makes that kick and they just kind of keep it moving a little bit, you're that much closer to, you know, eight minutes left in the third quarter, so 10 minutes left in the third quarter. It just felt like a momentum change because it was the opportunity to kind of keep extending a little bit.
There's also just something when the ball doesn't even hit the net, it just is that far off, extra deflating.
It's your old – it's Pete's favorite the rule change that Pete wants the most.
Oh,
if you kick a field goal and don't hit the net, you should lose 3 points instead of getting zero.
Maybe take one or two away at first, and then we'll work up to three. But I'll talk to owners.
So the first one that misses the net is minus one, and then
no. I'm saying like that's what we're going to start off with, and then by 2025 we'll have the full 3-point rule.
You're going to go up to New England, and the Patriots kicking net is going to be the entire width of the end zone, and they're going to be like, hey, you can't miss it.
But then they'll cut it off for the other kicker and make it real skinny. JP's just full on ignoring us. That's okay.
What do we have to do now? 100 chips? Did Green send it?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He said sorry for the delay, and he sent it like 5 minutes later than normal. This is a good guy. Thanks, Mark. We'll go quick. JP had the under. He hit.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody hit today.
No, I think I pushed.
JP is now minus 200. So good for you, JP. You're crawling out of your hole, kind of. Mitch.
I just would also like to point out how adamant you guys were that this thing was going to fly over and that the system worked.
It's one or two plays away.
Mitch had, I guess you're right, Chiefs.
I had a bad number. I got 31 earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I got 30 and a half in real life, so it was okay. Yeah. But got a push on 100 chips.
You pushed, so you're at 228 for the season. And then I, with my minus 13 and a half alternate line, hit. So I wagered 100. I get 190. And on the season, I'm at 155. So I'm second place, JP third, Mitch at first.
Do we have to do the smile thing?
Yeah, what made you smile?
Talking with Sean's family.
Yeah.
Seeing how much this all meant to them.
Oh, this is from teethkeepers.com. Of course, Dominion National, providing high-quality dental and vision care. Seeing you talk to them was very, very sweet and nice. They had bacon in the press box, and it was pretty good. That made me smile. Mitch, follow that up.
Oh, boy.
We got over-unders after that.
Wino gave me a sub.
I love Wino. He's cool.
Yeah, Wino. Oh, your guy on the radio who sent DeAndre Carter the Sean Taylor jersey. That was cool seeing him.
Was he wearing it?
He wore it.
That's cool.
He had yellow either sweatpants or pants on of some sort. It was a good
pants on of some sort.
Glad he had pants.
Well,
thanks for that update, Mitch.
It was a good outfit.
What pants were the Colts players wearing today?
Listen, people love the detail the big man provides, and he's telling that DeAndre Carter wears pants to the stadium.
Yellow
pants of some sort.
I think they were sweatpants.
Let's go.
Like they easily could have been Dior.
We got Chase Young.
We got over
Pedro
under real
Taylor.
Quick.
Oh, okay.
The quickest of quick. Heineke, 267. JP under. Mitch over. Pete over. He finished under. 1 point for JP.
180, right?
Yep. Gibson, 76.5. Both of you over. I was under. He was under, right?
Yeah.
44.
So JP won. Me won going into it. Hill, yards, 99.5. Pete and Mitch over. JP under. JP gets his first point of the year. 1-1. Mitch still has zero.
Nice.
I did this last year. It took me till like week 13 to get my first win, and then he ended up pushing at the end.
I definitely won last year.
All right, whatever.
As Mitch shrugs. All right.
Who cares?
All right.
Whatever.
Let's go Chase Young, Pedro Taylor, Sean Taylor tribute. Beautiful. That's what matters today. Thanks for listening, folks.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Let's talk about the game, and then let's talk about Sean, because obviously it was an emotional afternoon.
Yeah.
First half, you guys were able to generate those turnovers. Second half, the turnovers stopped happening. What changed at halftime?
To be honest, I don't know. We just got to keep going. We got to look. We got to go back and watch film. Look on the drawing boards. We got to correct it. That's the only way we're going to get better. Just keep going.
What's the pulse of that locker room? Is everybody still together?
Everybody's still together, but together moving forward. Together, just trying to make everything right.
Let's talk about the Sean Taylor ceremony pregame and during halftime. As a guy that grew up here, what did Sean Taylor mean to you?
Everything, man. Sean Taylor was like the Allen Iverson of, you know, what AI did at basketball. I feel like that's what he did to the league. Take the face mask. He had the big white long sleeve. He was a dog. He was just everything that you wanted from a player.
I saw you had your face mask taped up. Was that a tribute to Sean?
Oh, definitely, man. If he was still alive, you know, I feel like he was still, you know, he would have been here. But it's crazy, man. I know that he had been looking down, though.
Did you get to speak with his family at all?
I think I seen his little brother. I dapped him up, but we was walking out on the field at halftime. I didn't get a chance.
For a guy that grew up here and knows that this organization hasn't retired many jerseys, mm-hmm. You feel like it was the right time to retire Sean's?
It's going to have to be done some, you know what I'm saying, someday. It's out of my, it's out of my call, though, though, but it was going to happen.
Obviously, I mean, he belongs. Of course, right?
If he played 2-3 more years, you're talking about Hall of Fame,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got to speak with his father, and it was just so gut wrenchingly sad to talk to them, and it was great that they were able to appreciate the moment, and moments like that matter in situations.
Oh
like
yeah,
this.
Man. The only player that I know of who used to run to the facility and back. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
It's crazy. Looking ahead to Green Bay, two straight weeks with a sack for you. You're going to try to get Rodgers next week. How do you guys get this thing turned around?
You got to keep fighting, keep grinding. And I feel like that's the only way we can get it done.
Thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Obviously, this is an incredible emotional moment. How do you feel seeing this love from the crowd here?
It's always been that way since day one. And so we elated, and our family are blessed and happy.
What does this moment mean for Sean's daughter and for your other son to get to take it all in?
it's truly a blessing. As you see, they're very emotional at the time, but they're happy and they're proud of their brother, and she's proud of her father, and words can't explain.
Did you happen to notice Chase Young had his face mask taped up like Sean used to? Do you still see the impact he made on the football and the whole world today?
I do. You know, I love the fans when they wear 21. I love the players when they come in and speak about them. And I love this organization for what they do. They know, and I appreciate it.
And just what do you say to your family as after you watch this, and how do you think you'll be able to handle at halftime when they retire the jersey?
Well, I think in anyone, in any life, you really don't know how important something is until you lose it, or important of what you have and what was able to be accomplished, because it takes a lot to accomplish your dreams and also accomplish winning over fans and winning over people and proving that you are the person that you are and you're the one, the best of the best. So that itself and the hard work and dedication and commitment is what it's all about. And I think he took advantage of that, and he did what he had to do to make it the best of it.
He embodied that, and as a person that grew up in this area, I'll never forget that day and that news, and I can't thank you enough for your time on a day like this.
Oh, thanks a million, and thank you again. Thank you for the fans that's here, and thank you for the people abroad that always root for Sean, and we're so happy and blessed.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I'm Sean Taylor, University of Miami. The hardest hit in the draft.
Smith back to pass. Heat up the middle. Unloads. It's intercepted. Sean Taylor has it at the 20 to the 10.
On the left side, Fitzpatrick feeling heat from behind. Sean Taylor's got him. Picked up by the Redskins. Sean Taylor off to the races. 15, 10, 5. He dives in for the touchdown, Redskins.
Nobody will ever be able to replace him on the field.
He was a guy that had, you know, a range second to none. Like, he can get to anywhere on the field from any position on the field.
He was so incredibly talented. Week in and week out, you could look at him and say he's the best player on the field.
And Favre is going to pass. Pump fake going deep. Scott Jennings wide open. Sean Taylor over, and he picks it off. Sean has it, and he's still in bounds at the 25-30.
Bad mother. Straight like that. It's no other way to look at it. It's nothing that he couldn't have done. I think the passion, the ability, the way he affected his teammates, the memories that he left behind, the way he carried himself, is nothing that you could say.
Sean was a man amongst boys. You know, I just remember talking to him constantly, him asking questions constantly, to be the best he could possibly be. And I couldn't ask for a better youngster as safety to groom and watch him just to mature and do the things that he was doing. That's why I always say he's a Hall of Famer.
They're coming after him. Over the middle. It is intercepted. Sean Taylor's got it to the midfield stripe.
He's going
to
score.
He was everything I wish I ever could have been in a big safety. He could run like a deer, hit like a Mack truck, had hands like a wide receiver. There was nothing he couldn't do in any scheme.
Sean Taylor was one of those elite athletes that came here and cared about the grind. He cared about becoming better at not just running around and hitting people hard, but at understanding where to be and why and how.
The first day we put on pads, he's just all over the field. I'm talking, it's like, bang, pow. I'm just like, whoa, oh. Oh, okay, this is Sean Taylor.
Warner under center, back to pass, looking over the middle, fires. It's picked off. Sean Taylor with it, off to the races, 40 to the 50.
He always seemed to be around the ball. When that thing came out on the ground, for some reason, Sean seemed to be there. I remember we're playing Dallas, and they're going to kick a field goal and to win the game, and we blocked the field goal.
Vanderjack for the win.
Miss it.
It's blocked. It's blocked. It's blocked by Troy Vincent and picked up by one of the Redskins. Sean Taylor moving backwards, trying to find running room, and he's still on his feet.
When the ball was on the ground, he seemed to have the ability to be the guy that was there. Just, you know, some players are that way. It's kind of magical. They just make plays. And he was one of those guys. And, you know, you put that with the physical part of it, I mean, he made some big hits.
The pitch to the right side is hit, and he is short of the first down.
I don't think he made it.
Sean Taylor coming up. A guided missile demolishes the ball carrier.
Then in the 2007 Pro Bowl, I remember when Peyton Manning was in the huddle, and he called a play for me to run a skinny post. And in the middle of the field was Sean T. He had a chance to take me out. He had a chance to just take me out, boost first.
Yeah.
I know when they call a play, I'm like, you know, Sean T in the middle. Now I'm full of Mai Tais and chicken wings.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want no parts of this,
yeah,
right?
It was Pro Bowl.
It was Pro Bowl, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm saying, oh, man, this is about to get ugly. And I alligated it. And he told me, he said, you better be glad I love you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because a few plays later.
Mm-hmm. Coach Belichick and I talked early in the week about faking the punt. And the punt came up, and he looked at me and goes, you want to run it? And I said, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Brian Morgan is going to fake it on the run.
And he told me, he said, hey, if it's not there, just kick it away. And I was like hell, I'm running this thing. So I cut up.
Oh! Oh, Sean Taylor.
And that was pretty much the last thing I remembered.
Remember Reggie Wayne got out of Sean Taylor.
Brian Morgan going back out onto the field. And that is why.
Congratulated Sean Taylor.
Sean put fear into people when they were playing. And you go back and watch the Terrell Owens play. Go back and watch a ton of plays. People turn down balls in the middle of the field because of Sean.
Looking left, fires. It is incomplete. Sean Taylor
decked him.
He sure did. Knocked the ball right out of the hands of Reggie Brown, who said, did you get the license plate of that man?
Oh, I love that kind of hit.
On the verge of taking over the world, I think Sean had grown so much, and he was on his way to doing something so special that was going to be unheard of.
He was a great friend. He was a great father. He was an amazing human. And as great as he was on the field, who he was away from there was going to be what left his legacy and impact on the world. He was going to be the best to ever do it, and I was blessed to be his friend.
For the first, 2 hours I was awake this morning, I thought I grew overnight.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.